T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. And you wrote today about the potential contract situation that I think everybody in the NFL has been following. The sports world has been captivated by this. Posted early this morning. And I'm speaking, of course, about the Steelers' chances to ink Bud Dupree to a long-term deal. The clock is ticking, as your story said on that. Here's something that I'm interested in. You write in here and you mention that the Steelers truly do view him as like a foundational piece that Kevin Colbert has talked about, like wanting it, the partnership with TJ Watt there to end together. Is that rhetoric at this point? Because it seems highly unlikely that they will find a way to move money around to keep him.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, I don't want to say it's rhetoric. I mean, we can go back and look at what Kevin said about Le'Veon Bell too. I mean, the Steelers actually thought they were close to inking Le'Veon Bell to a deal in the summer of 2017, so anything is possible. But as I note in that story, there are so many other guys on this defense that have to get taken care of with contracts. Cam Hayward is going into the last year of his deal this year. They would like to get that done before the season starts if they can. But there are other, even bigger ones coming down the road. T.J. Watt is going to happen next summer probably. And then Minka Fitzpatrick is coming down the line, too. So it's just one of those deals. When you have a great unit like they do, you're not going to be able to keep everyone. And I think, unfortunately for Bud, as much as he wants to stay and as much as the Steelers want him around, it's just not a financial reality, you know, in the constraints of, you know, the modern-day NFL salary cap.
Ray, what if Dupree has – I'm going to try to thread the needle here a little bit. What if he has a season that is good, but by maybe I'll even say just above average, but by no means great? What are the chances that they would maybe approach him again and say, you know, wasn't exactly a bang-up year for you, but we'd still like to have you. We still love the idea of you in black and gold, with the idea that maybe his free market kind of earning potential has diminished as a result. Is there an avenue there, you think, realistically?
So you're talking like between like 6 and 8 sacks and just like a so-so year, something like that.
Something that is a clear step back from what he did this past year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, even in that situation, you know, we don't know the circumstances under which that type of season would happen. I would still have to think that he would be able to get more money on the open market. There are a lot of players out there who have the career sack totals of Bud Dupree. And not only are they making $15, $16 million a year, they're making that over a 4 or 5 year period. So, I would think that he would be able to get something better on the open market. But your point is good. I mean, listen, if he has a so-so year, it's clear that Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert have always been backers of his. So maybe, you know, they can work something out. But I got to believe – unless they come to terms with him in the next week before the deadline, I have to believe this is probably his final year in Pittsburgh.
Ray Vitopaldo, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the PM team. When's the last time, in your reckoning, that they had a situation like this with specifically an outside linebacker, Ray?
Well, I noted in my story, there's been two recent cases. Jason Worlds. This was back in 2014. We all know what happened with him. Mm-hmm. He abruptly retired. And, you know, they were unprepared for that, and that, you know, led to You know, James Harrison coming back and the whole deal. So in 2011, I think all the while they knew they were going to sign Lamar Woodley to a new contract. The franchise tag was just a placeholder to get that done over the next couple of months. I don't get the same feeling about Bud. I mean, totally different situations. Their first defensive draft pick this year was an outside linebacker. If you go back and look at 2011, you know, they took two corners in Curtis Brown and Cortez Allen before they took Chris Carter in the fifth round way back then. So, you know, I think they knew they were going to sign Lamar Woodley. I think with Dupree, I think they were hoping, but, you know, they were kind of knowing what the situation was. And I think, you know, Highsmith was a bet against or a bet for Dupree moving along in free agency in 2021.
Ray, I have another contract question, and it's mainly because the thought of Patrick Mahomes signing for this mega extension is obviously fresh in my mind. If Ben Roethlisberger, another hypothetical, so I'm going to ask you to indulge me in this hypothetical. If he plays very well, like kind of the opposite of what I just described with Dupree, objectively really good years, up there with his statistical best that he's had in various seasons, like 2014 would be an example of this one, maybe more recently, where he has been, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And he does it again next year, and he's healthy. Do they consider signing him to yet another big money deal with all those defensive players that you just mentioned that need to get paid?
I guess you would have to. I mean, I don't know what the playoff results were in those years that you're, you know, that you're talking about. But listen, I guess you would just have to look at what the contracts were for Brady and Breeze when they passed 40. I mean, they weren't $35 million contracts like Ben just signed a couple of years ago. I mean, for all those years with the Patriots, whom we all know, Brady's numbers were down. But I think even Breeze's latest contract, it wasn't approaching $30 million. So I think once you pass 40, I think maybe the numbers, I don't want to say they'll go down, but I don't necessarily think they'll go up. So I think that would be a possibility for the Steelers. Certainly depends on what they would do in the draft next year if they would draft a young quarterback. But yeah, I mean, when you have a franchise quarterback, Chris, and he's playing well, it's really hard to let him go because as we saw with his team, in the 1980s and early 1990s, you just don't know when that next great franchise quarterback is going to come along.
Do you think that exact dynamic that you described there, how long they kind of waited in the wilderness for a true franchise player between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger, do you think that informs like the way maybe that Art Rooney looks at this whole situation and informs some of the decision-making that they do?
Absolutely, and I think that goes both ways. I mean, I think Art Rooney remembers well what happened in 1983 and, you know, the drafting of Gabe Rivera instead of a guy like Dan Marino. So they'll have their eyes wide open next year. I mean, from now on, you know, as Ben ages, they have to consider taking a quarterback every single year just because of that fact. But the other side of that coin is quarterbacks can now play into their 40s. We've seen it with Tom Brady. We've seen it with Drew Brees. You know, we haven't seen that precipitous decline in their play from their late 30s to their early 40s. So so much is different now than it was 40 years ago, you know, when they went through this before. But, yeah, I just go back to the point of when you have a known commodity like they do and he continues to play well, they would certainly have to consider it if he wants to, you know, consider continued playing.
G. Ray, I guess I have to assume from your comments there about have to consider a quarterback every year and take this very carefully year to year, remembering the 83 draft, to mean that Mason Rudolph isn't that guy moving forward.
Well, they've committed to him to being the backup quarterback for this coming season. But, I mean, based off of what we saw last season, I don't know how anyone in that building can believe right now that he is the future starter. So, listen, if, you know, if he improves, if he proves to those coaches that, hey, there's something there, then they'll have to make that decision next April, whether they want to have to, you know, go after one or maybe they're content, you know, with Mason developing. But, I mean, I don't know. After watching his rocky 2019 season, there was so much going on there. I just don't know how they can go into the 2021 draft knowing that without at least exploring the quarterback position seeing what's out there and seeing if it's in their best interest to bring a new quarterback in.
Two more quick ones for you, Ray. The Mahomes deal, I think, is also notable, and I'm sure you're aware of this, for this fact. After the real money starts to kick in, he'll count somewhere in the neighborhood of 18%, I think, against what people imagine the cap is going to be, close to 20% of the cap. You can go back a decade, and there hasn't been a single quarterback who has counted that much money against his team's cap who has won the Super Bowl in any of those years. Do you think that he is the player, from what you've seen of him 2 years in as a starter, even from afar, that's going to buck that trend in the NFL?
I think he's a great quarterback, but, I mean, that trend is, I mean, it's well known. Once these quarterbacks get into these big money contracts, it's hard to build a roster around them. That's why I think, you know, they've structured this deal in a way where they can continue to sign players over the next couple of years. So I think it'll pay off for the Chiefs. Let's put out there by 2024, 2025, if they have multiple Super Bowl wins by that point, so two more. So let's say they have a total of three by the year of 2025. I don't know if they're going to care what happens after that, because you've built a mini dynasty and you've built your legacy as one of the great teams of your era. So I think all teams do that now. You know, when you have a chance to have a great team for an extended period of time, you're sort of in that go-for-it mode, and I think the Chiefs right now, they're in that go-for-it mode.
All right, last one really quick here, Ray. I'm going past time, but I'm really curious your answer to this one. J.C. Treader, the NFLPA president, kind of not lashed out is the right phrase, but he spoke about what he perceives as the league's approach to coronavirus and moving forward with this season. He thinks that there needs to be no preseason games, that the league is essentially being a little bit too cavalier about this, thinking that they'll just figure out a way to do things the way they always did because they've never really had to change. Do you get the sense from anyone you're talking to on the Steelers side that this is being taken very, very seriously as like a matter of kind of grave importance that they can't take lightly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say grave importance, but Cam Hayward spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. He's very concerned as a union rep about how this is being handled. It wasn't quite as strong as J.C. Treader was, but there is concern there. Listen, people have families. They have loved ones. They have elderly parents or grandparents they might be around, or maybe children with, you know, with some medical conditions. So there are real concerns out there. But I still think, listen, I don't want to say this is a ploy, but I certainly think this is a way for them to eliminate all the preseason. I think we'll just have practices. Eventually they'll get this worked out, and then they'll ramp up to the regular season. So it hasn't been easy in any sport. You look at the NBA, MLB, certainly they've all had these roadblocks to agree upon before they get going. And unfortunately, I think it'll be the same for the NFL as training camp approaches.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Ray, appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
All right, Chris, anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.